Earlier this week, the Treasury Department announced a fresh wave of sanctions against North Korea over its nuclear weapons program. And it comes at a time when the U.S. is increasingly using economic sanctions to rein in rogue regimes. NPR's Jackie Northam reports.
This latest round of sanctions targets half a dozen North Korean trading and shipping companies. The Treasury Department also imposed sanctions on several Chinese trading companies. What the Trump administration is trying to do here is choke the flow of money that helps Pyongyang develop its nuclear program. It's doing so by using secondary sanctions, going after individuals and companies in other countries that knowingly do business with North Korea, especially in China.
The perception, reasonably so, is that without Chinese dealings with North Korea, that would really put a squeeze on the North Korean economy.
Stephen Heifetz is a Washington lawyer who has worked in both Republican and Democratic administrations on foreign investment issues.
China and Chinese businesses are right in the crosshairs for secondary sanctions.
Heifetz says so far, the Trump administration has been focusing on Chinese individuals and companies, but it appears to be inching towards sanctioning large Chinese banks. He says that would be a game changer.
If the Chinese bank is on the U.S. sanctions list, large institutions around the globe are likely to stop doing business with that Chinese bank.
I think that they probably would call our bluff on that.
Anthony Ruggiero, a North Korea specialist with the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, says sanctioning Chinese banks could backfire. Beijing could retaliate, impose its own sanctions on U.S. banks, fuel a trade war, something not lost on the Trump administration.
What I think is likely going on inside the administration is this internal debate on what happens next. And that's one reason it hasn't happened.
The Trump administration's increasing use of sanctions against North Korea is part of a broader strategy to curb bad behavior by rogue nations. Think Russia, Venezuela, Iran, and now possibly Myanmar. Juan Zarate is the author of the book Treasury's War. He says economic sanctions have become an increasingly important strategy for the U.S.
Overall, these are sanctions and measures intended to coerce, intended to change behavior, and ultimately to affect the bottom line of the actors that are being targeted.
The U.S. has led the way in the use of sanctions since the Second World War, according to Gary Hofbauer at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He studied sanctions for 3 decades and says he's seeing a marked increase in their use over the past few years.
These days, it's almost essential to use economic sanctions when you have a disagreement with a foreign country prior to doing anything in the military or even the covert operations sphere.
Hofbauer says the use of sanctions succeeded in bringing Iran to the negotiating table. But he says the effectiveness of sanctions is mixed. They've led to regime change in Latin America and parts of Africa. But historically, sanctions don't work on dictatorships.
It's really hard to get autocratic governments to change with the use of sanctions. And, you know, there's no autocracy which is more autocratic today than North Korea.
And Hofbauer says now more countries are following the U.S. and using economic sanctions, including Russia, the European Union, and China. Jackie Northam, NPR News.